The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. On this midweek edition, Wednesday, September the 4th. Bob, bring your mic in front of you. I noticed that, you know, my guest host did a great job.
Sure did.
While I was away. And I was listening up in Canada to the podcast of the show that Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson did.
Yeah.
And I think he said at the beginning, that is the cheeriest our theme music of any show on the radio, something like that. I like that music. It's original theme music. The guy, I met a guy, a German guy on the island, the Portuguese island of Madeira, and we were having breakfast, and he says, you know, I do bump and theme music for radio stations in Europe. And I said, well, I do a radio show in the United States. Is there any way maybe we could team up, I put something together? So he did that original theme music, so that's where we get that. Anyway, all the guest hosts did a great job. Buckmaster Show, I posted on Facebook. I'm really disturbed of the images I'm seeing out of the Bahamas. Layla Counts with me in studio. Would you second that motion?
Yes, I haven't seen the images yet. Don't have a TV, but I've heard about it on the radio. And
the man that lost his
awful
wife basically was in his arms. She drowned in his arms. And he lost the house. Somehow he got out alive. There's like, we're talking now Grand Bahama, where Freeport is and the international airport, which was under the airfield, was like under 3 feet of ocean water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be...
These mega hurricanes are really,
they're
really
horrible.
Disturbing.
And have you noticed they stall? Where it used to seem like the hurricanes were like, move, you know, fast as a hurricane,
right?
People said, a hurricane really, that's what it does. But like a hurricane that stalls basically 1 mile an hour, 36 hours parked over the northwestern Bahamas.
Yeah, so destructive.
And so incredibly destructive. So those images really bothered me, and I'm hoping that the people, because they're really begging for help down there, and I know our Coast Guard is responding, and so is the British Navy, very much involved, because the Bahamas are part of the Commonwealth. Anyway, so I posted that on Facebook if you want to take a look. I also posted something about a woman in Nassau, and we're going to get to education here in a minute, Layla, but a woman in Nassau who rounded up 97 stray dogs before the hurricane, and she took them all into her home. Imagine 97
in a
it was a rather small home, but all these dogs, and she was saying how they all got along. It's almost like they were sensing, oh, thank goodness you've taken us off the streets, at least, you know, out of
we
this,
have shelter,
this.
So we're gonna make this work.
And they made it work, and it's just an incredible story, and I posted that also on my Facebook page. Layla Counts is with us. She was the top vote getter in the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board election, which, hard to believe, it's almost been a year that Layla was elected to a 4-year term on the board. Do you think, before I ask you to kind of characterize your first year, do you think the voters wanted to elect somebody that they thought could be somewhat of a peacemaker?
Definitely, Bill. I think people were sick of the infighting, sick of the 3-board majority this way or that way, and they really were looking for somebody that was going to be fair, that was doing it for the right reasons. I think being a TUSD parent, being a lifelong educator, having my background in counseling, where I could really try to bring some peace to that historically dysfunctional board, was a big reason why I was the top vote getter.
I mean, you, professionally, you're a family counselor. You counsel many TUSD educators. You come from an education background. Your grandmother, your late grandmother, was a English teacher in the district. Your mother was a teacher. So you're an educator yourself. So education is in your blood.
Yes. And I currently am an educator doing professional development for teachers in social emotional education, restorative practices, classroom discipline, family partnerships, the things that TUSD had a lot of work to do. And we still have a lot of work to do. It's an ongoing process. And I think that that was a great benefit. And the voters saw that.
Now, you had heard the TUSD board has been notorious for, you know, I think of that old thing, hey, can't we all just get along? so you knew going in that this board was dysfunctional. So now that you've been at it a year, where are there some areas that this board can kind of come together?
Well,
I know the dynamic is still tough.
Yes, the dynamic is still tough, but I think that we've all done a good job and are continually getting better at treating each other with respect, letting everybody have their moment to say what they need to say, staying focused on the agenda. We came together multiple times for unanimous votes, which was really heartening.
And can you give us a couple of examples?
Yeah, we came together on the Native American regalia. We had just this last meeting, we came together for a unanimous vote on eliminating the blacklist and creating employee protections and something that was fair and equitable for our employees, and also strengthening our protection for students in policy so that the people that shouldn't be working with our kids are not working with our kids while still being fair. And that was unanimously voted on. So there's been a few, and I'm always so happy when that happens.
790-2040, if you have a question about TUSD or education generally in our area, Layla would be happy to hear what you have to say and entertain your question. Family life, which for years was referred to as sex education, this is moving through the pipeline. It's been a lengthy process. Where is it in that pipeline right now?
So September 10th is our next governing board meeting. It is on the agenda, and it will be put up for a vote to approve the curriculum that our board appointed committee has created, or really just revised the old curriculum to make it more developmentally appropriate, more science-based, and more inclusive.
As a family counselor, as you look over the particulars of the program, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, so before I was a biological parent in TUSD.
You've got two kids.
Right. I have two beautiful elementary school kids at Bloom Elementary. Mm-hmm. But before I was a biological parent of TUSD, I was a foster parent for Native American transgendered students.
Oh, bless your heart. That's wonderful.
We need
more foster parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's always in Arizona a foster crisis. And I loved my children dearly, and they were pushed out of, this was 20 years ago, nearing 20 years, and they were pushed out of TUSD schools because of who they were and that the community was not accepting. They were being severely bullied, and there was nothing I could do as a parent to have recourse and to protect them. And so they ended up running away, and I never saw them again, and I know that the last I heard, they were on the streets. And
oh my,
so this
I
is
had
a,
not heard this story. This
well,
is horrible.
When we say that an inclusive sex ed curriculum, an inclusive family life curriculum is life-saving curriculum, that's what I mean. I don't know if those kids are dead or alive anymore.
Wow, I am so sorry that you had this experience. And they were being bullied because because they were Native American, or was there a variety?
Transgender.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So long time ago, but this was directly in TUSD, and this was happening everywhere.
Emotional scars that you still must carry with
it's this. A personal issue for
so
me.
So you don't know where there were two children?
I say they. It was one child.
One child.
Yeah.
But you
for the pronouns, because at the time it
but
was,
you
there
don't
was transition.
Know where the child is.
I do not.
But day after day, the child came home and reflected about a bullying crisis.
Right, and I reached out to the school at that time, and there was nothing that I could do. So it is a very personal issue to me, and it is a life-saving curriculum.
Okay. So you see that curriculum, and what are your final impressions? You like it?
I like it.
Okay.
I think we had a board of physicians and educators and parents and faith leaders and all a very broad perspective coming from that appointed committee, and they did a great job, and I am willing and ready to vote for it on September 10th.
All right, there you go. Layla Counts will stick around for a second segment with us. She is a member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. When we come back, we'll talk, get an update about enrollment, salaries, how are teachers feeling these days about themselves, and a little bit about the budget. But first, Layla, I want to tell our listeners about a great getaway. Bob, do you have time to pull up the current temperature, noontime temperature in Silver City? So, have you been over there?
I haven't. It's on my bucket list. I want to go to Silver City so bad and camp near the
Gila
ruins.
The Gila National Wilderness, the ruins are just up the road.
It's
the
a ruin. Funky little artsy town.
It is. 84 degrees.
Wow.
So there
Beautiful.
You go. I was saying yesterday that, and we didn't pull it up, but I said, I bet it's in the mid-80s. So it's been kind of running that way, the noontime temperature. How do you beat that?
Yeah, you can't.
At 5,000 foot elevation, it's kind of the same elevation as Denver, a little less than Santa Fe, where Layla, you spent some time. So
yeah, grad school.
There's that, when you get up in that, you get that kind of that elevated air, I call it. It's clean, it's fresh.
It's happy air.
Happy air.
Yes.
There
it's
you go.
Thin,
happy
bright.
Oxygen air. There you go. So a great trip, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Their website is a good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. They've been pretty much a legacy sponsor with us. And when I say legacy, we started the show the first week of January in 2011, and they've been with us pretty much the whole ride, and we send a lot of people over there. We talk about it because it's a great place to go, and we only have partners on this program of things and places that I endorse, products that I endorse, that I believe in. So we'll take our break right here. It's Buckmaster at 12:17 on Midweek Edition. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org. or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A little bump music from one of my all-time favorite groups, Chicago. It's no coincidence that I hail from the Windy City. Layla Counts is with us. Layla was the top vote getter a year ago, November, and she was elected to a four-year term on the governing board for the Tucson Unified School District. Layla, I think the district is still the second largest district in the state.
We've actually moved to third.
Oh, we were pushed down a little bit.
I forget who took over second.
Maybe Mesa's
in the top.
Yeah.
Too.
Anyway, so it's still a huge district. It's a huge inner city district. And I was sharing with you as we were visiting before the show that people rag on TUSD a lot. And I think a lot of it is unjustified. It's a big city school district. And big city school districts, inner city school districts suffer across the country right now.
Of course.
With loss of enrollment.
And it's I think people don't have that perspective to put it in the big picture of what is happening
right.
nationally in big city school districts.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about enrollment. There was some improvement, correct?
There was, yeah. So typically we would lose anywhere from 1,200 to 1 year. I think it was 5 years ago, about 5,000 students in 1 year. And that was that time where they were closing a lot of schools. This last year, it looks like it's stabilizing at about only a 200 student loss comparatively from the year before. And something that is really exciting and heartening is that our biggest growth was in kindergarten.
Really?
So people are choosing TUSD.
Mm-hmm. So I think Dr. Trujillo, and I know he talked about it a lot a year ago, about some of his plans to turn things around. I think that positive messaging has helped.
Definitely. We had years where we didn't have a communications director or a marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. And so we are now able to talk about the good things that we're doing in the schools with our curriculum. Our teachers are out visible in force, Red for Ed, and in other ways as well. And the tide is turning, and I think people are really starting to get excited about TUSD and our local school district.
How about you? Are you interacting as a parent with your teachers for your kids?
Oh my gosh.
I try not to be
a helicopter parent.
Yeah, but tell me what you do.
But as an educator, it's hard.
What do you do?
Oh, I have almost daily communication with my son's teacher and my daughter's teacher. I leave her alone a little bit. I have more experience with her, but just trying to make it work. Parent and teacher partnerships, parent and school partnerships are so important for the success of children. And that is one of the big issues that TUSD has, where you have a high poverty district. Parents often don't have the time or the means to get involved.
Two parents working usually.
Or a one-parent household, children living with grandparents. And that is a huge barrier for engagement, which is directly tied to student success and achievement.
Do you think do the teachers welcome the parent engagement, or do some of them perhaps see it as an inconvenience?
Well,
I've wondered about that. How can you be too intense as a parent with the teacher?
Okay, so I think that's a really good question. I think that the principal of the school sets the tone.
Okay.
And our school is a school community, and we welcome and we value parent engagement and setting that culture within the school. And then I also think it's how parents engage. If you're just going in and ragging on teachers, nobody is going to respond
to that.
Getting
in the face of a
teacher. Or making complaints without...
Like, what are you doing with my kid? How can you do such a thing?
Complaining without any ideas of solutions or how they can work together as a team. Mm-hmm. If you go in with that team mindset, that solution-focused mindset, then I think and let teachers know that you value them and that you are appreciative of the hard work, because teaching is a very, very hard job. And
I
respect every teacher and I want to be their partner and just am very clear and explicit about that. I think they, it always turns around.
And they're making some money, which is good.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. We got beginning teachers above 40,000, which
That's
I think was
good.
A big improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at the budget, well, first of all, before I talk about the budget, you do counsel with TUSD educators, and I know you get a feel kind of for the morale. How would you characterize it?
I think that overall, people are very happy that we were able to bump up the salaries above 40,000 so that no teacher is making less than 40,000. TEA was very happy with it. Our Tucson Education Bargaining Unit was very happy with it. I think that there is still some disappointment in what we were not able to accomplish as far as longevity stipends or hard to fill stipends. And,
like school nurses and things, librarians, did they get bumped up too? Or?
No, so we didn't have the money right now for librarians.
I found that a little troubling.
Yeah. I would love to get librarians back. I would love to get our counselors just at competitive wages. There's a lot of things that I had as a priority. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go in with our special education teaching assistants making $15 an hour because a lot of them are changing diapers, really physical difficult positions. I wasn't able to get that done. Wasn't able to bring in the longevity stipends. And, you know, people, you hear about that a little bit more than you get the thanks.
Right.
But we're still, it's a process. I am still committed to those hard to fill stipends and longevity stipends. And we're going to see what we can do with this boost in enrollment.
What about librarians? Do schools have libraries anymore?
So schools typically, yes, we all have libraries, which is one of the great benefits of choosing a public district school is we have those fields and libraries and art rooms that a lot of the charter or private schools don't have. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a lot of library assistants at our elementary schools and at some of our middle schools. Mm-hmm. All of our high schools have librarians.
I loved library as a kid. I still remember those little chairs.
Uh-huh.
The little bitty wooden chairs. Bob, do you remember? No, yeah, there you go. Sure, you remember. Bob Dio remembers those little. Do you remember those, Lila?
I do.
Yeah, the little
and
chairs.
I was an avid reader as a young child.
I loved to read.
In recess, I was in the library looking at those massive dictionaries. Yes, I would like to get our librarian positions funded again. So we do have a boost in funds with this increased enrollment and from what we expected, so hoping to get some of those things done.
And the budget for the year is looking how?
Well, it's all based on our enrollment or our ADM, as we call it. So we'll find out on the 40th day where we are with average daily membership.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the board dynamic, your goal now as you enter your second year after your first year is to try again to kind of bring everybody together. Is that safe to say?
Yes, I like to say that I try to bring balance, try to find common ground. And
as a peacemaker?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that that is a big reason why I was elected. People were looking for that.
Yeah. So the improvements have come also in security on our school campuses, correct?
Yes.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And we have an item this next Tuesday on the agenda to look at even increased security as far as cameras. But last year, the board did put a lot of money into physical security measures, such as locking doors and gates and things that will physically protect our students.
All right. We're going to let you get out of here because I know you've got to pick
up
the kids.
It's early release day in TUSD. I got to go pick up my kiddos.
What is the early release day?
So every Wednesday, TUSD schools get out an hour early so that our teachers can have professional development.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck as you continue on.
Thanks for having me on.
You're
really
welcome.
Enjoyed it.
Layla Counts with us, who was elected last November to a 4-year term on the TUSD governing board. She was the top vote getter and really was elected, I believe, and I think she's also confirmed that kind of as a peacemaker and trying to bring a better, more professional dynamic to the TUSD governing board. That's going to do it for the first half hour of the Buckmaster Show. Bob, are we going to take a hard break? We are not going to take a hard break at 12:30. So, okay, good. So we'll take our break right here. And Karen Caesar is waiting in the wings. We've got our Arizona Water Quarterly Report. Lots to talk about concerning Central Arizona Project Water as we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news talk. Time for our Arizona Water Quarterly Report, focusing on what I believe, and I think I won't get too many people disagreeing, I think that Arizona's most important resource is water. We got to have water here in Arizona. I think most people would agree with that. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. You can find out more about CAP at cap-az.com. Karen Caesar with us, governing one of the governing board members of the Central Arizona Water Conservation Board. Good to see you, Karen.
Nice to see you, Bill.
So much to talk about. That water has been so much in the news. We just had August passing, which means we're eagerly awaiting the results of the Bureau of Reclamation's 24-month study. What was the bottom line?
Well, first, I just want to remind everybody what the Bureau of Reclamation, or BOR's 24-month study, actually is. The Bureau releases a 24-month study every single month and looks ahead 2 years for water levels. But it's the August report that defines, among other things, the operating conditions for Lake Mead for the following year, in our case now looking at 2020. And this year, for the first time, they included in their 24-month report, they recently enacted Lower Basin Drought Contingency Plan.
Well, I'm glad you did mention that, because when I heard 24-month study, I thought they only release it every 24 months.
It seems so, like you would have to wait two
right,
years. But
so I'm glad you cleared that up. So the big issue here is, did they declare a Colorado River shortage?
Well, we're going to go with technically yes, and I've talked a lot about shortage, and we've been trying to avoid shortage for a long time, particularly a tier one shortage. But right now, the projected elevation of Lake Mead, which is our measuring stick for whether there is a shortage declaration on the Colorado River in 2020, is just shy of 1,090 feet above sea level. And I've talked a lot about the elevation 1075 being the tier one trigger shortage. What we did with the DCP is we defined a tier zero, so ahead of tier one, which begins at 1090. It's kind of like the Wildcats played week zero of football. Well, we have a tier zero. And so for the first time ever, under the newly enacted drought contingency plan, we will formally and officially implement reductions as outlined in the DCP beginning in January 2020.
So you say technically.
Right. We say technically because it is officially a tier zero reduction. And I also say we only missed it by like less than a foot of elevation.
Whoa.
So we came very close to having no shortage declaration at all. But while it's significant, the amount that this requires in reduction is actually equivalent to the amount of Colorado River water that CAP has been leaving behind voluntarily in Lake Mead since 2015, so for 4 or 5 years. And we've talked about that has kept the lake levels high enough to keep us out of shortage. So in essence, CAP and our water users have been planning and preparing for this tier zero reductions for the past 5 years. The biggest difference is that up until this year, those contributions were voluntary. We all did it because we knew it was the right thing to do to try to stave off a shortage declaration. With the passage of the DCP, now these reductions that we have already been living with become mandatory.
So, Karen, how much is this tier zero reduction?
The tier zero, what this is going to do is it's going to reduce Arizona's Colorado River supplies by about 192,000 acre feet. Arizona is still taking the largest hit in mandatory reductions of supplies. Nevada's are going to be reduced by about 8,000 acre feet. And a tier zero, even in a tier one, California doesn't take any reductions in their water supply. But I do want to mention that with the DCP, one of the big changes is if we ever get into deeper levels of shortage, the DCP now requires California to take cuts where they didn't have to take cuts before. We also have Mexico. We cannot forget Mexico because they also receive Colorado River water. And due to Minute 323, an agreement under the 1944 treaty, Mexico will reduce its water use also by 41,000 acre feet.
So let's zero in on this, Karen Caesar. How much of the Arizona reduction is to CAP's Colorado River water supply?
Well, because of the way the priority system works and agreements amongst water users in the state, CAP is actually the lowest priority water user, and therefore we are going to take 100% of Arizona reductions under the tier zero. So our CAP water supply is going to be reduced by the full 192,000 acre feet, or it's about 12% of our normal annual Colorado River water supply. And for CAP customers, what this means is that the water that would have been available for underground storage, banking, and replenishment, what we call excess water, will not be available. And some water going toward the CAP agricultural uses will also be reduced by about 15%.
So what does this say about the DCP?
Well, what it shows is in this very first year, the DCP is already working. And despite our nice wet winter and the conditions on the Colorado River, we passed the DCP, all the basin states passed the DCP just in time. So You know, through the DCP, Arizona is continuing to prepare for what we call a drier future. And this year, CAP, along with the Gila River Indian Community and the Colorado River Indian Tribes, are contributing and storing about 236,000 acre feet in Lake Mead. That's a lot of water that's going to be left in Lake Mead to keep those elevations up. And next year, even with the Tier Zero reductions, these same water users, along with Mojave Valley Irrigation and Drainage District, will continue to conserve and store additional water in Lake Mead.
Well, so... With these efforts, they're all part of Arizona's plan to implement the DCP, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And it's all, you know, the DCP was never going to be solved by one entity and one time. It was always going to be sharing and contributing.
It was also a multi-level kind of plan, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was multi-level, multi-party, multi-jurisdiction. It was really a collaborative effort that brought together so many of the stakeholders, and every contribution toward the DCP and providing, leaving the water in Lake Mead is helping everybody.
So bottom line, before we move on to another subject, an important subject, but we aren't in that bad a shape, basically.
We continue to, you know, manage our water resources very well, and no, we're not in that bad of a shape. Anticipated even possibly a tier zero in 2021 as well. But again, that's a little far out to predict. But the plans in place are doing what they were fully intended to do, and all of Arizonans can be proud of that and be assured that we're managing our water.
Managing the CAP is a huge job, Karen Caesar, and I understand there's some unique system maintenance coming up. And this is something that people probably don't think about when they think about the Central Arizona Project. But there's a lot of maintenance involved with keeping this thing running.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you were surprised when you got on the board to learn about how detailed this gets.
It is so detailed. And everybody, again, and again, with our hearts going out to the people in the Bahamas,
yes,
we all take our water that comes out of our tap for granted until it's not there. And the CAP's role in keeping Arizona in water is directly tied to our ongoing operations and maintenance efforts. And they call it the app. It's one of the apps that run in the background of CAP. 24/7, 365, we're watching out for our infrastructure, which is pretty amazing. And so we have many different parts and pieces to literally many moving parts. But one thing that's coming up that's really unique is the Salt River siphon outage and maintenance. And let me explain for a second what a siphon is.
Yeah, what is
that? I just explained this to a group last week. When the Central Arizona Project Canal goes from the Colorado River all the way down south of Tucson, mm-hmm. it cuts across the landscape. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand tunnels. If it runs into a mountain, you've got to bore through the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But if it runs across a river, like the Salt River, you can't commingle the water in this case, and you can't pump it up and over the river. You have to dig under the river with a pipe, and that river is a siphon. That pipe is the siphon that carries carries the Colorado River water underneath. Yeah. Like the Salt River.
Yeah, I wondered about that. What happens when the CAP runs into the Salt River?
Right. Well, it doesn't. It actually runs under a giant pipe. And in fact, what we're doing now is we are working on some maintenance on the Salt River siphon. And that is a 21-foot diameter pipeline that runs under the Salt River before it pops back up and continues on an open channel. And these things, you know, we don't see them. They're full of water. They're underground, but they need maintenance on a regular basis.
But it's a huge project.
Oh yeah, it's a huge project, and it's part of our main line. So, beginning at the end of October, October 30th, we're going to empty out this siphon, and a portion of the canal will be dry to allow for maintenance. So we have to interrupt some deliveries for a short period of time to go in, and the work is going to be done to recoat this pipe with a corrosion protection to ensure the longevity and the reliability of the water deliveries for CAP customers. This was last done, almost 20 years ago in 2001. So it's been a while, and like I said, we just can't go to Ace Hardware and buy a new pipe or buy.
No.
There's so much of our stuff is so unique that planning for these outages is a very critical part of our ongoing safety and reliability of our system.
Well, you mentioned the siphon when the CAP meets the Salt River. I'm just wondering, in Southern Arizona, is there anything like that?
Well, we have one that's a similar length underneath the Santa Cruz River, again, mm-hmm. our river, but it's not quite as large in diameter. And so currently that one is fine, but we do look ahead. So we don't have any siphon, you know, outages planned for that. But part of what CAP does is we look ahead at all of our systems and we want to repair things, you know, before they fail, but not too soon. And that's part of managing the budget and the, you know, and the finances of the system as well. So we're keeping an eye on that. But right now, there's no work scheduled for our Santa Cruz River siphon.
And the Salt River siphon impact water deliveries, will there be an impact?
Well, the work is planned maintenance. So we know it's coming and, we've been planning for it for quite some time. So we work with our customers in the area to ensure they receive the delivery of their water during the outage. And there's several different ways we can do that. We are anticipating the outage to be about 6 weeks, and we will release water back into this around middle of December. But you can imagine if you're counting on that water, you know, by the end of the year, we have to be ready. It's very critical that we closely manage our projects so that they are completed on time. And you know, that's our plan, and we're sticking to it, as they
very
say.
Very good. Karen Caesar, great information. Our Arizona Water Quarterly presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future, CAP-AZ.com is the website. All sorts of good information there. Karen, a pleasure to see you. Thank you very
Always
much.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Bill.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Be right back with Bill Doley, who is the CEO and president. We'll talk some more about water and our water heritage here in Southern Arizona with Dr. Bill Doley right after.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk here on Buckmaster. We're so delighted to have two dozen or so outstanding regular contributors to this program in all sorts of fields. Dr. Bill Doley is the president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. And Bill is one of our contributors. He's our contributor on archaeology. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well today, Bill. Thank you very much.
Well, we just had a very interesting discussion about the CAP and Lake Mead, so we're going to kind of continue on with water with you, but we're going to talk about water heritage, Bill. And as an archaeologist, you generally focus on the ancient past. Here in southern Arizona, the descendants of the people of that distant past are still our neighbors, and some of the places with deep histories are associated with water and are enduring culture, have enduring cultural significance. Bill, let's talk about two of them. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I hope we can get to both of them. Mike, we could talk for an hour and a half on either of them. But one that I think is probably easily characterized as threatened would be the Quito Baquito Springs that are out southwest of us in the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument area. And we definitely, though, want to also get to the area there at the base of A Mountain, where the Mission Garden and Tucson's birthplace is in that area. But let's get back to Quito Baquito as a place to start.
Yeah, and that's there was this op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star highlighting the threats of construction of a border wall to that area out at Oregon Pipe. How serious is that threat, Bill Doley?
Well, I think it's pretty serious. I've got it up on my Google Earth, and it's this literally just a couple feet over 200 feet from the international border is this wonderful pond surrounded by a green landscape. And there's a series of springs out there, and the current border wall running through there is bollards. Just there, you can actually pass through them. Animals can get through them. So there is a border construction that's already taken place out there. But I think the real threat this time is that, first of all, the administration has waived the important protective legislations like the Endangered Species Act and the National Historic Preservation Act. This is a place where, because of the rich flora and fauna, the availability of water there, people have left behind the evidence that they were there for over 12,000 years.
Oh, my goodness.
There are two federally recognized endangered species that are protected in that watery environment, the Quito Baquito pupfish and Sonoida mud turtle. So those are the things that are some of the things that are threatened out there. And the new plan for building the border wall calls for a fairly deep trench, as much as 9 to 12 feet dug down into the ground, and then a 30-foot high fence that's continuous. So the Sonoran antelope is not going to be able to pass through that area. Other animals that need to pass at the ground level won't be able to pass. It's probably going to be disruptive to the hydrology of this really special place. And the autumn, the Tohono autumn in particular, this was on the route. When you're crossing the desert to get out to what we now refer to as Rocky Point in the Gulf of California, a desert oasis like this is a must-stop kind of place. To an explorer called Carl Lumholtz in 1909 said, the springs created a tiny stream of beautiful, limpid water.
Mm. So, well, it's kind of like you would think of like this a desert oasis, isn't it? Something like that,
exactly,
Bill?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And this is something that the United Nations International Biosphere Reserve has recognized, and it's on the National Register of historic places as well. Bill, let's take a quick call, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer caller Paul's question about the border wall and water. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, my relatives who own land down in the Nogales area have for years been very concerned about all the sewage coming from the rivers down in Mexico, unimpeded into the United States, that are affecting our water supply down there. How will the border water affect all that sewage coming from Mexico?
How will the border wall affect that? Yeah. Bill, do you have any idea?
So, I'm not sure I can answer that. I know that particularly on the Santa Cruz, which would be the primary you're talking about in the Nogales area, there's been a lot of attention to trying to upgrade the kind of water that enters the U.S. So I know that's been on the front burner for a goodly while. And I mean, the good thing, I mean, this is sort of a good transition to our next topic,
right?
Which is the Santa Cruz,
right?
And the treatment of wastewater is what is allowing our desert rivers to flow again. That probably needs, given the size of the population and the costs and those sorts of things, there's probably need for more investment of addressing the issue down in Mexico. But it's a little out of my area of expertise.
Well, the other area we do want to talk about is the Santa Cruz. And you had a chance, Bill Doley, to check out the river in the water here locally.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was not able to go on the day that they first let the water free in the river, and then I'd heard that they'd turned it off for a while. So darn it, I'm over the holiday weekend. I said I'm going to get down there and take the opportunity to see the water flowing, and it is not exactly a trickle, but it's not a torrent either, and it tends to dwindle by the time it gets up to the Congress Street Bridge. But at 22nd Street, there was a wonderful pond built up behind a slow structure, and it was a real joy to see a mountain reflected in the water there. So definitely people should get out to see that. And I think the thing that I see in terms of the area around A Mountain is that it is the place that gave Tucson its name. So the fact that the water was pushed up by the underground presence of bedrock there at the base of A Mountain has created an oasis in Tucson that has supported agriculture for over 4,000 years.
And it's made this area, I think, one of the longest continuously habitated area in North America. Correct, Bill Doley?
You're absolutely right on that. And I think people are, I'm starting to hear that out in just regular day-to-day conversations, that information is actually starting to percolate well into our population and their knowledge.
Bill, we have very little time, but the Mission Garden is starting to really thrive, isn't it?
It is, and the water in the river is a big plus, and the fact that they've now got a artificial acequia or canal they've constructed, and there's an endangered fish that's being conserved in that. So people should get out there and enjoy the Mission Garden. The city of Tucson is planning to create a landmark status for an area there at the base of A Mountain, and our historic preservation community here, I think, says pretty consistently and unanimously that the city of Tucson should look at making that area as expansive as possible. It's so important to this place's connection to its past and to its future. And so there's going to be opportunities. This landmark status is there's going to be public hearings associated with it. And I'll have to keep people informed as that goes forward.
Bill, quickly, Archaeology Southwest, tell our listeners about it.
Well, our goal is to implement what we call preservation archaeology, and we want to connect the places and the stories of the past to the people and values of the present. So that's what I hope that we're delivering today, is two places where there's a deep heritage related to water, and it's relevant to you as well today.
All right. Your website real quickly.
www.archaeologysouthwest.org.
All right. I'm a member. I urge everybody else to be. Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Bill Doley, who is head of Archaeology Southwest. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer-producer, Bob Dio, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.